Morning. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 8. Bless you. Okay. Matthew chapter 8. And when he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, and behold, a leper came to him, bowed down to him, saying, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." And he stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I am willing, be cleansed." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, "See that you go, tell no one, but go show yourself to the priest and present the offering that Moses commanded for a testimony to them." And when he had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, entreating him, saying, "Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering great pain." And he said to him, I will come and heal him." But the centurion answered and said, "Lord, I am not worthy for you to come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority with soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and go, and he goes, and another one, come, and he comes. And to my slave, do this, and he does it." Now when Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who were following, "Truly I say to you, I have not found such great faith with anyone in Israel. And I say to you that many shall come from east and west and recline at the table with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom shall be cast out in the outer darkness. In that place there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And Jesus said to the centurion, "Go your way, let it be done to you as you have believed." And the servant was healed that very hour. And when Jesus had come to Peter's home, he saw his mother-in-law lying sick with a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and waited on him. And when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, cast out the spirits with the word, and healed all who were ill, in order that what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, "He himself took our infirmities and carried away our diseases." Now when Jesus saw a crowd around him, he gave orders to depart to the other side. And a certain scribe came and said to him, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Another disciple said to him, "Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Follow me, and allow the dead to bury their own dead." And when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great storm in the sea, so that the boat was covered with the waves, but he himself was asleep. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, "Save us, Lord, we are perishing." And he said to them, "Why are you timid, you men of little faith?" Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and it became perfectly calm. And the men marveled, saying, "What kind of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him?" And when he had come to the other side in the country of the Gadarenes, two men who were demon-possessed met him, and they were coming out of the tombs. They were exceedingly violent that no one could pass by that road. And behold, they cried out, saying, "What do we have to do with you, Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time?" Now there was at a distance from them a herd of many swine feeding, and the demons began to entreat him, saying, "If you are going to cast us out, send us to the herd of swine." And he said to them, "Be gone," and came out and went to the swine, and behold, the whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the sea and perished in the waters. And the herdsmen ran away and went to the city and reported everything, including the incident of demoniacs. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they entreated him to depart from their region. Amen. Okay, so now he's come down from the mountain, right? From the Sermon on the Mountain. It's the Sermon on the Mount, and he begins to teach. But more now, he's kind of flipped into his demonstration mode, right? Remember we talked about it, you know, the proclamation, demonstration, and now you know he spent a bit of time sharing and teaching, and now he's come down to do the stuff. And so he comes in, and the first thing that he's met with is this leper. And just one little insight I want you to see, just in this simple passage, is that this leper comes and he offers, right? And these seem to be some elements that are needed for healing, okay? One of the elements of his primary is faith, right? There's always something about faith, especially when we talk about healing or the miraculous. You know, now this man, when he came, this leper, he offered a statement of faith. He said, "Lord, if you're willing, you can heal me." In other words, God, you got the power to do it. You know, do you want to do it? You know, that's basically the question that he offers. But there's always an issue of faith. You know, whenever you pray for someone, you know, or when you're praying, period, there has to be an element of faith that's in operation, or else why are we praying? You know, I mean, if you think about it, for us to pray without faith would just be kind of dumb, wouldn't it? Because then why are we praying anyway? Because if we're not praying with faith, then we're just doing a religious exercise, right? Then, you know, we're not praying with faith. Then who are you praying to? You know, what's going on in this transaction? Now, sometimes, you know, especially in relation to healing, sometimes the faith is the person that's asking. Sometimes it's actually the person that's praying. You know, and it goes either way, right? It just could be that, you know, someone could come up and maybe they don't have much faith, but you do, and you pray for them and something happens. Or it could be the other way, that someone comes up to you and asks you to pray for them, you know, or whatever context, and you don't have any faith, but they do, and something happens. You know, remember the paralytic that was sent up through the roof, right? It wasn't necessarily the faith of the paralytic, it was the faith that the friends had. And so Jesus turned to them and says, your faith, you know, has made you, and he wasn't talking to the paralytic, he was talking to the friends. Because he says, because he saw their faith. You know, and so, you know, in other words, it doesn't matter where the faith comes from or from whom it comes from, the receiver, the giver, the participant, the non-participant, but as long as faith is present. You know, and it seems like when faith is present, right, there seems to be a movement or momentum to do something. In that same way here, actually, which goes to encourage you guys a little bit, that especially some of you guys that are praying for friends that are not saved or family members that are not saved, right? That's your faith in operation there, you know? And so, you know, I mean, you know, it's pretty good to say that something's going to happen. You just stay with it, though. You know, the other side of the faith, too, you know, is, or this healing is that Jesus says he is willing, right? So either God can do it or God can't do it. But we recognize in the scripture that God seems to be always willing. But most times in scripture, it seems like most people are not ready to receive what he has to give to them. Remember, he goes to Nazareth, and he says he couldn't do much there because, you know, they opposed him. They wouldn't receive from him. You know, and so it, you know, all to say that, you know, when it comes to miracles or these things, there seems to be a lot that's laid on our laps, you know, and God seems to be quite willing, you know, and as you read through the scriptures, man, he's healing everybody. You know, except for people that are unwilling to receive from him or people that don't operate in faith. And he says, I'm willing, right? He does his deed. He goes to Capernaum. He sees this centurion comes to him. And what a nice guy, man, right? I mean, this guy goes to the Lord. His servant is in a lot of pain, you know. And it goes a lot about this guy's heart, right? And not only did he have a good heart, man, but he had a good understanding of who Jesus was. You know, if you can miss it when you're reading it, but he's basically announcing, right, that, Lord, you are the Messiah, right? You are the one that we've been waiting for, or the Jews have been waiting for, you know, and he comes and you know, and he says, you know, don't even, Lord, I'm so unworthy. Don't even come. Just say the word, because I know who you are. Just say the word, right? You have authority. Just say the word, and it'll be done. You know, remember Jesus was blown away. It's like, oh my, I've never seen faith like this, even in Israel. You know why? It's because he's, you know, the whole time he's trying to convince Jews and they're not budging. I mean, there's a trickle here, right? There's Zacchaeus that comes here, right? There's a little a chief priest that comes here, but for the most part, not just a trickle, you know. And so Matthew begins to give us a little idea, right? And this is what he says. He says in verse 11, many will come from east and west, recline at the table with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. You know, and we see, you know, all what Paul would see later on and what he would be released to, right? We see this inclusion, right, of this gospel message, you know, to the whole world, right? It's not just for Jewish people. And then Matthew, remember, Matthew's trying to convince Jews. They probably didn't understand what he was saying, right? But he said the sons of the kingdom should be cast out in the outer darkness. And he says, even you guys that are chosen, you know, you don't believe, you know, you don't receive. And this is what's going to happen to you. And so he continues on. His mother's healed, right? Peter's mother-in-law's healed. And then there's an interesting little discourse that happens about discipleship. And these guys come to him, you know, and one of the scribes says, teacher, I'll follow you wherever you go. And Jesus says a very interesting statement, right? And he says, foxes have holes, birds in the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Now, this would seem to be a quite odd response, right? I mean, this guy's basically saying, Lord, I want to follow you wherever you go. I'm with you. You know, and then Jesus says, well, foxes have, you know, I mean, what kind of weird statement is that? It's actually a prophetic statement. The word there, you know, when he gets to nowhere to lay his head, is actually in Greek, it's the same word that's used when he bows his head. Remember when Jesus is on the cross, right? And he said, into thy hands I commit my spirit. No, the scripture says, and then he bowed his head. It's actually the same word, the idea of laying his head. You know, and it was true. I mean, Jesus was making a statement about his death, and he was basically saying that on earth, that there is no place for him to lay his head, right? There's no place for him on earth to bow his head. Where did Jesus bow his head? Is when he was lifted up off the earth, right? When he was on the cross, you know? And so he's not just trying to be, you know, difficult to this guy. He's just making a statement, right? Because, you know, he says, I'll follow you wherever you go. And basically the idea is, well, you know, where I go, you really can't come. You know, and begins to make this statement. The next guy comes, another disciple, right? I mean, these are disciples, you know, and he says to him, Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father. Now, this statement, you know, obviously, if Jesus receives something like this, I mean, obviously, he's a reasonable man, right? Now, don't misunderstand what the man is asking for. The man is not asking that his dad just died, okay, and he needs to go take care of the funeral. That's not what he's asking. What he's asking is, Lord, let me live my life with my dad first. Then when he dies, then I'll come follow you. Okay? It's a whole different matter. And this is, you know, very typical to a lot of things that we hear. I hear this a lot, personally, right? You know, you ready to give your life? Well, no. Let me live my life first. You know, let me do my thing. You know, let me get married. You know, let me have kids first. You know, or let me be successful in work first. Let me make a couple $1 million first, and then I'll serve you, right? I'm sure, you know, if you've witnessed to a handful of people in your life, you know, I'm sure you've heard this, or especially even talking to Christians, you know, about their commitment to the Lord. You know, oh, yeah, later on, you know, I'll do this thing. You know, in other words, it's like when my life is more convenient, you know, then, yeah, you know, or when I've achieved something, or when I have free time. Then I'll do this thing. What a, you know, I mean, these are disciples, right? And if we have those kind of ideas in our heart, right, then we should really look face to face in, you know, with the Lord Jesus and see, hey, man, where's my heart really at, right? You know, I mean, this, you know, he's saying, you know, let me live my life first, Lord. You know, I mean, my dad's here, you know, he's probably old, and I don't know, maybe his dad was young, who knows, you know? And so, but let me go bury him first. You know, in other words, let's live our life first, and then we'll come and follow you, right? That doesn't count. You know, that's not discipleship. Obviously, this guy hasn't died, and if we're making those kind of excuses as well, right? As you know, the Lord calls us to serve. You know, like, oh, you know, let me wait until my work gets less busy, and then I'll serve you, Lord. You know, or let me wait until this season of my life is over. No. You know, when God calls us, he calls us now, right? When God says something, it's the now word. It's not for a later time. I mean, it could be a prophetic, you know, but the word is released in that moment, and now is the time to obey, right? And so you got to be very aware of that, you know? And in the same way, now I don't want to make a jab, but, you know, if the leaders of the church, you know, if they ask you something, it's probably a good idea to obey quickly. You know, I'm not saying this, you know, to manipulate you so that you, you know, believe or you do everything I ask you to do, you know, but if you trust the leadership of this church, you know, and you know that we're a praying staff, you know, and that we're praying pastors, and then we present something to you and we ask you, we don't do it on a whim. Probably pretty good idea just to obey. I'll just submit that to you, right? Pretty good idea just to say, okay, you know, I trust my pastor, I trust my pastors, I trust my staff. You know, they're praying, you know, to the Lord. You know, don't say, oh yeah, when my life gets a little less hectic, Pastor Sam. No, it's the now word, guys, right? It's the now word. You know, don't make these excuses, oh, let me go bury my father first and whatnot. Right, and he says, hey, you know, if you follow me, allow the dead, you know, in other words, there's really never a convenient time to follow him. You know what I mean? It's like fasting. There's never really a convenient time to fast, right? But you just go ahead and do it. And then as you're doing, you find that actually it's quite convenient. I mean, doesn't it work out that way? Things just seem to work out, you know, and we feel like, well, I don't really have the time. All of a sudden, man, you say yes to God, and there seems to be time. You know, God just seems to work on our schedules and our lives with our bosses, and all kinds of things seem to happen. It's just kind of an amazing thing. You know, and then he goes and leads them on a boat, and, you know, I mean, what a beautiful word picture, right? He gets into this boat, right? The crowd's forming because he's healing everybody. I mean, things are happening here. He gets into the boat, and next thing you know, that there's this huge storm that rises up. The guys in the boat are scared, you know. And to give an idea, this is not like these guys are untrained, you know, and the boat's rocking back and forth, and they're like, oh, my God. What did these guys do for a living? Do you guys remember? They're fishermen, right? About half, you know, almost half these guys were fishermen. They've sailed before. They know the waters. And they're in the waters, and they're scared. You got to know that there's a huge storm, right? I mean, they're scared for their life. And these trained fishermen, right, these seamen, you know, are in the water scared. And what is Jesus doing? He's sleeping in the boat. I think that's such a wonderful word picture for many of us, right? Because things can be happening in your lives. You know, they could seem like a storm. But isn't a blessing to know that Jesus is with you, right? And he ain't freaked out. You know what I mean? He's like, oh my God, we're going to die, you know? He's taking a nap. He's at perfect peace, you know? See, a few things that you got to understand. Number one, that God is with you. That's huge, right? God is with you. Whatever is going on in your life right now, God is with you. You know, he's with you in the midst of it right now. You know, I personally love the poem. You guys read that poem, Footprints, right? I tell you what, I've used that poem so many times to lead people to Christ. You know, it's just packaged perfectly to lead someone to Jesus, you know? You know, and that, you know, the picture in the footprints where, you know, this guy was walking. You know, I don't have to repeat this, right? You guys, anyone here never heard of footprints before? Okay, good, right? But the one part where he says where, you know, it's like when the thing times were most difficult, those were the times that I carried you, when he saw just one set of footprints. What a beautiful picture, right? God is always with you, especially when you feel like he's not. He's with you even more. You know, remember the Bible tells us that he's our ever-present help in our time of need. And especially when we have need or when we're hurting or suffering, right, Jesus comes, right, like, you know, with gangbusters, you know. I mean, it's just an amazing picture here, and he's sleeping. You know, and not only is he in the boat with you, but that person that's in the boat, not only is he totally chilled out, and he's even sleeping, not only that, but in one word, he can calm the circumstances of your life. Isn't that amazing? You know, he can just say in one word, peace. Or in this particular case, he just rebuked the sea and the wind. And all of a sudden, boom, everything could be made calm. God has that kind of power, right? I mean, what a joy, you know, and assurance that we have. If God is for us, who can be against us? You know, what a beautiful picture that he lays out before us. And then he goes and he casts out this demon. Now, I have an issue with my translation. I hope you have an issue with yours as well. A lot of the Bibles, they translate, you know, the word like have a demon. They keep translating demon possessed. I don't know why they keep doing this. It actually doesn't mean demon possessed. Okay, you know, there are three Greek words, you know, in relation to this whole idea of demonized, and they all mean the same thing, right? There are different words, but they mean the same exact. All it means is have a demon. They use the word demon possessed because it's kind of an old word, right? You know, and I really don't like it because what it basically, when we say the word demon possessed, it makes it sound like the demon has so much power, okay? The demon doesn't have that much power. And just always remember this, the power that the enemy has is the power that you give it. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less. The power the demon has over anyone's life is the power that they give it. Right, there's really no such thing as demon possession. I mean, you know, maybe on a scale it could be a 10 or something, but still yet the person is in charge. Right, the person has given over, you know, but it's happening there. And notice, you know, actually a bit of good theology comes out This demon, right? Jesus comes into this region of the Gadarenes. This demon comes up, you know, and starts saying, "What do we have to do with you, Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the appointed time?" The appointed time is the appointed time of judgment. Remember in James, the Bible tells us that the demons know and they shudder, right? Because they know what's up, you know? And so they're like this, and they're backed up against the wall. They know, right, that what the end deal is for them, that the judgment is coming. On another side of that, too, is a lot of times in church, you know, when someone gets demonized and, you know, let's say, you know, someone starts manifesting and all of a sudden they start foaming at the mouth and the eyes roll back and, you know, they start talking, you know, this kind of stuff. Most people in the church get really freaked out. In fact, some of you are freaked out right now, right? You know, and you shouldn't be. Because what that means, right? Because, you know, people get afraid and like, oh, God, you know, so, no, that's a good thing. You know, the enemy, the primary thing the devil wants to do is he wants to hide. He wants to be in stealth. Remember C.S. Lewis's really famous line that, right, that he wants us to believe that he doesn't exist. And if he's done that, then he's won, right? There's no reason to manipulate people. The manipulation is full. He doesn't exist. It's unfortunate that many Christians believe that too, that he doesn't exist. Or he's some kind of fairy tale or it just happened a long time ago. But the other side I want you to see, right, is that the demon manifests because he wants to hide when the presence of Jesus comes. And so if you're in a church service and someone starts manifesting demonically, man, that's good news. That means Jesus is in the house. You know what I mean? I mean, Jesus just showed up. Right? And it wasn't just a presence in terms of like a observing presence. The manifest presence has just come down. And something is happening there. I mean, it's a great picture. You know, and so this evil spirit is just tormented. All these things because Jesus shows up. You know, and then he said, now let me just suggest this to you, okay? Now I'm still making up my mind about this, but it sounds pretty good to me. This is a very interesting passage, right? It's like, you know, here's this demon, you know, and says, oh, Jesus, you know, all these things. And then he says, okay, we don't want to, you know, go back to the abyss or whatnot, so send us into these pigs. And Jesus says, sure, why not, right? I mean, you know, sometimes you can read the Bible so much, you know what I mean, and totally be unamazed by what's going on in the scriptures. You guys understand what I'm saying? Like, we become so religious, and you get so used to. Think about this, right? This evil spirit starts, and then they say, hey, throw us into the pigs. And then Jesus lets them go into the pigs, and the pigs go into the sea. That's crazy. You know what I mean? I mean, that's just crazy. I mean, what is that? You know, so I heard this one interpretation. I just suggested to you, right? Now, he goes into this country, the Gadarenes. Now, when the evil spirit is cast out, remember it says that they pass through, Luke tells us they pass through waterless realms. And they're in torment, you know. Let me just suggest to you a scenario that could have happened here, all right? See, there's this idea of territorial spirits, okay? And there's this idea, you know, like in Daniel 10 we read, there's a prince of Persia, the prince of Greece. You know, and we've I don't know if you've ever traveled, I mean, obviously you've traveled, you know, and you've been in places, and did you ever feel something in these places, you know? Like when I go, you know, I don't want to disparage a whole country and stuff, but when I go to Nepal, you know, I tell you, man, there is a spirit of deceit. You know, and everyone is just trying to rip you off. I don't know if you've ever been to Nepal, right? I've got a friend of mine, and he's a worship leader, you know, and he's like the most mild-mannered guy. You know what I mean? Like, he never gets mad. He's just so at ease. We went to Nepal together with a group of people, you know, our missions team, and he almost killed the cab driver while we were there, right? Because he was getting ripped off left and right, and he couldn't handle it anymore. You know, so much so that you go to a cab, and we say, oh, yeah, we need to go to this place, and this is okay. It'll be like, you know, $5, right? And then we get to the place and it says, oh, it's $20. You know, we're like, no, you said five. No, 20, you know, and you go, and that happens the whole time, right? You just feel like people are ripping you off left and right all the time. And, you know, it's a spirit that's operating. People have said that people come to Hong Kong and they feel a spirit of materialism, right? They come into this place and people that don't ever shop just want to go shopping. You know, they just want this and want that. It's a spirit. You know, people go to different places, and so what are we talking about here, We're talking about a malevolent spirit that governs a region. And all have different personalities, right? You know, and operate in different ways. So, first of all, you have to buy that first if you're going to understand the rest of what I'm going to say, okay? I just suggest it to you, right? And then, so this evil spirit, if there's, remember, there's a malevolent hierarchy, right? You know, powers, principalities, evil forces in the heavenly places. And remember in the other passage, you know, I forgot exactly. I think we'll read it in Matthew later on. And it says that, you know, he goes on waterless realms seeking no rest. And he comes back to that place and finds it unswept. And he says it brings back demons, right, seven times more wicked than itself. So there seems to be a hierarchy that's in operation, even of wickedness. And so this evil spirit would be cast out. They would be cast out of this region. And thus would be tormented because now they come under a different region, a different territorial spirit or a different head demon, you know, over a certain area. You know, and so they ask, you know, so seemingly, well, we have to get out of these people, so just throw us into the swine. Again, I just suggest it to you, right? It's a good idea. I don't necessarily know if I buy into it fully, but it kind of makes sense. It helps me to understand the passage a little bit better. You know, and so, I mean, it's probably too much information for you so early in the morning anyway, right? So let's close our eyes today. It's probably a little too deep for you guys so early. But as Jisun leads us in a song this morning, I mean, there's a lot that went through this passage today. But if I want to pinpoint one thing that I want you to take home as you go back to your work or your school or your home, is this simple idea that Jesus is in the boat with you. And he's relaxed. Even though we may freak out, Jesus is not freaking out. Because he knows in one word, he can calm any storm around us. But don't rejoice in that. Rejoice in the fact that he's with you. Even if you think he's not, he is with you. And as Jesus leads us in a song, let's just meditate on that today.
Peace, Lord of
Bible says that perfect love casts out fear. And if you are experiencing a storm in your life, and maybe there's a storm in to pray this morning. Actually, I got a text yesterday. Jimmy Stewart is having his own little storm. Apparently, I don't know what it is. It's like an extreme form of vertigo or something. But he's going to be admitted to the hospital today. And he's extremely dizzy. He says every time he gets up, it's like he's drunk, right? He's just stumbling over everything. He's got no sense of direction or order in his mind. And so let's just really cover Jimmy right now and ask and pray for protection. Pray for Linda as well, right? Especially that she wouldn't worry too much about her husband's condition. Well, let's just lift them up before the Lord. Let's go to our mission prayer focus. Let's pray for North Korea. Now let's pray that God's purposes will be established. So let's pray for the persecuted church. Let's pray for our missionaries, Chris Kim, and for Peter Han and Traddy. Let's ask for God's hand to be with them in their ministry, and God will continue to move upon them. And let's also pray for Bhutan. And our good friend Tom is there right now and ministering with his family, and John Lee will be there next week. Let's just real pray for real grace over them as they set up this basketball program, and you know, especially as now the country has been open to Christianity. Let's pray that the church would really arise and enter in this season. Let's just let the NK and Bhutan. Let's pray our ministry focus. Let's pray for the Febe ministry and Pastor Selamat and Mimi and just all the workers there. God's hand will be upon them. They'll continue to grow. Pray for the Korean church. And you guys know they're looking for a new senior pastor and installing new elders soon. Let's just pray for God's grace and favor upon them as well in this difficult time. Let's lift up. Thank you. Let's pray for our house church is starting tonight. Praise God. Let's pray for Star Street and for the Morels and Seymour Road and the Kims and for Lan Kwai Fong with Sophia and Matt. Let's pray for God's favor upon them. Let's pray as we start this new season that there would be so much joy and grace and love and really the presence of God would meet with us today. Each one of us in each of the house churches tonight. Let's just lift up today. Let's pray for our move, right? Let's keep knocking on that door and ask God to open. Let's pray for real grace for us. And let's pray for real generosity as well as we continue on in our fundraising and our fund will continue to grow. Let's continue to pray for the vine that God would bless them to in their move and they would quickly make a decision as well, a favorable decision for us. Let's pray. Let's pray for our sister Leanne Cheng. Let's pray for direction and guidance in her life. Let's pray for complete healing over her left knee and for her father, brother, and sister that they would experience God's love and overcome past hurts and disappointments. So let's lift up Leanne. Thank you, God. Let's pray for other Leanne Chow. Let's pray for her job and opportunity and she'd understand God's role and gift in her life. Pray for location, discernment of where the Lord wants to put her, for her family, with her mom and for salvation for her uncle and her family, and for spiritually, for that she would really understand daughtership and really walk in that in her life. Let's lift up Leanne. Let's pray for Will. Let's pray for growth. Let's pray for intimacy with God and renewing of his mind. Pray for family breakthrough and breaking generational and demonic spirits. Pray for salvation of her sister Jenny and reconciliation in her family. And pray that she would really to perceive what God is doing at work and to obey and join him. Let's lift up Will. Father, we thank you, Lord, first and foremost, God, that you're always with us, Father, that you don't tire of us, God, that you don't get bored, Lord, with us, Lord, that you're always there and you're always calm. You're always willing and able to offer a hand of assistance, God, always willing to speak that word over our lives, Lord. We pray, God, for humility of mind and heart and just real obedience, God, and submission that we allow you to work in our lives, God. Lord, we give you permission today to do all that you need to do in our lives, Father. Thank you. Watch over us, Lord. We bless you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please spend some time praying. God bless you guys, and have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow morning.